There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
There's some people I discovered, which I did not know. Some people cannot visualize in their heads.
I don't really have photo. I can't draw.
So like,
I think you need to have that kind of brain to draw.
What do you mean?
Photorealistic.
Yeah.
I don't really see photos like that.
Like in your brain, like you don't have like your dreams or more emotions and it's from your perspective, but you don't really.
But I have people too, but I can't say that they're like crystal.
Yeah, I have incredibly vivid crystal images. Like sometimes I'll wake up and like write down images like the chocolate chicken. Chocolate chicken, where that, because I had this dream where I was on the streets of New York and I found this pile of rotten chicken bones, but they were covered in chocolate. So I thought maybe these would be good.
Are we recording? I can save this. I can save the chocolate.
I can save the chicken.
Yeah. Do you want the chicken or the chocolate?
Well, I wanted the chocolate and the chicken. I wanted the chocolate chicken. So I picked up this pile of chicken bones and I started eating it, but it was rotten. So I kept like throwing it up, but then I kept eating it and then throw it up and I'd eat it and throw it up. I just woke up in the morning and just kept thinking like the chocolate chicken. Remember the chocolate chicken.
Yeah.
The chocolate chicken is very important. And I don't know why the chocolate chicken was important, but I felt it was very important.
You know, you're everyone in your dreams.
Yeah. And the thing is also, you can dream about anything, which is amazing.
Well, I was talking about that, honestly, in therapy. I was talking about that. I was like, I had another one of those where it wasn't a sex dream. It was just that it was everything up to. And I was like, you can fuck in your dreams.
You can do it.
You're allowed to.
You're allowed to.
It's the barriers you put up against yourself, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
Welcome to Last Podcast on the Left. Ben hanging out with Henry. We're talking chocolate chickens today.
We are. We are. Kissel, the last 5 or 6 days, literally since the moment we stopped recording the last episode of this series,
yep,
you have been saying over and over again, hey, I got this joke.
I got a joke.
I got this joke.
I got a joke lined up that I came up with my own brain.
And you've been thinking about it for days.
Days, yes.
Mentioned it to me at least 3 times.
And we're all like, so what's a joke? And you're like, wait.
But the thing is now, I'm bored of it. So I don't even want to say it.
So you mean to tell me, I literally was sitting and waiting and wondering what
you already heard it.
I
know what the joke is.
I told my wife about it. Carolina, Ben says he has this amazing joke that I can't wait to hear.
All right. Fine. Here it is. Here it is. Fernando's also heard it. You've heard it. I said it on Open Lines.
I don't remember.
No, you don't remember much that I say,
well,
do you?
It's new to me.
Okay. What kind of milk does a mythical cow drink?
A mythical cow. What kind of milk does a mythical cow drink?
What kind of milk does a mythical cow drink?
I now remember, and I'm sorry that I did this.
A mythical cow. Okay, what is it?
Legendary.
So when we last left the crew of the Essex, a highly aggressive 85-foot whale
good for a popsicle
destroyed
stick.
Their ship.
That's good for a popsicle stick.
Much to the surprise of the seasoned Nantucket whalemen.
Legendary. What kind of milk does a mythical cow drink?
Legendary.
Legendary. See, you liked it.
I did.
There you go.
I enjoyed it greatly. You give me a pun and I'm going to be happy for days.
Hate it.
Yep. There you go. All right, everyone. Let's go on to part two of the tragedy of the Essex.
So when we last left the crew of the Essex, a highly aggressive 85-foot whale had destroyed their ship, much to the surprise of the seasoned Nantucket whalemen who had never even heard of a whale attacking a ship, much less sinking one.
Oh my goodness. So that means one person was like, and I've never.
That is, they all were truly surprised because they were like, I just thought they meet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But while there were no records or even rumors of this happening to Nantucketers prior to 1820, it happened plenty of times after. In 1835, for example, a ship called the Pussy Haul was
wait now, is there a different meaning for pussy back then?
Nah, this be my ship.
Yeah.
The Pussy Haul, it's named after where I was born.
Okay.
Ah, Pussy Haul, I remember it well. It was long, thick, kind of brown.
Pussy
Pinkish
Haul.
Pinkish walls like the inside of a barracuda.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Pussy Haul.
Pussy Haul, Connecticut.
Man, it was attached to my huge mother.
Oh, I see. The birth canal, the first river we go down.
Well, it's P-U-S-I-E, so it might be Pussy. It might be Pushy. pushy hall, which is
even worse somehow.
It spits pussy.
Yeah, but the pussy hall was attacked and chased by a whale, but thankfully it escaped.
Okay.
Over the next few years, multiple ships would be sunk by whales, including a vessel called the Anne Alexander, which sank near the same location that the Essex had gone down, coincidentally the same year that Moby Dick was published.
It is definitely more prevalent than anyone had ever thought that it was. Whales definitely destroyed many boats. This is now we kind of see it after the fact, because I feel like it's good. This is a theory. So tell me if I'm wrong, experts out there that know whalers and have been on a ship.
You're not directing that towards me, huh?
No, I'm sorry. But the idea that like they started talking about after something like this happened, because this story came out and it kind of became more circulated, where I think that sailors are so superstitious that no one really wants to talk about that not only is just doing the job dangerous, like just being on a boat dangerous, go to a bunch of places that, like, you know, we are basically unmapped, massive stretches of water is completely dangerous, but also the thing that's got the fucking metal lubricant in its brain is also dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps the whales were having some revenge after being depleted for all those years.
Quite possibly. But when it came to the crew of the Essex, why the whale had attacked, or whether or not it may or may not attack other ships, that wasn't the first thing on their mind.
Hmm.
To them, their immediate concern was simple survival until they could be rescued.
Okay.
The 21 men who'd survived the sinking of the ship were divided amongst three whale boats holding 7 men each. As befitting their ranks, the whale boats went to the captain, the first mate, and the second mate, according to the condition of the boat. Best to worst.
There's some about no matter what happens, these guys stick to the orders that were made up by a bunch of people that were made up before them.
Well, it makes sense. You've been there the longest. You get the nicest boat. You've been there. You're the new fresh one. You can handle having to do all the stuff where you have to come in all the holes so it doesn't leak.
I don't think that you do.
Well, they can do it.
But the provisions, they were divided equally, with each boat receiving 200 pounds of hardtack, 65 gallons of water, and 2 tortoises. The only special item given to Captain Pollard was the ship's musket, while the mates were only given pistols. And these were handed out just in case.
You know what that's for, man?
What?
Fucking popping the top, dog.
Oh.
You fucking take that one old, like, single bullet train down to Davy Jones' locker.
Well, that's a nice thought to have. Sure.
I mean, it's probably for hunting.
It could be, yes. Yeah,
could possibly be, although they had ample opportunity. Never used him for that. I think it was a contingency plan for the men.
Well, why don't you just jump into the massive ocean?
Because that's a long death.
Yeah, but it's kind of nice. You swim around until you get tired, and then you get eaten by a shark. We've seen open water.
We're going to talk about why it wasn't that nice.
All right.
And so, 2 days after the whale attack, the crew set out with their small convoy of 3 boats. And by 4 p.m., they lost sight of the wreckage of the Essex. And that's when their nightmare truly began.
That's the nightmare's beginning!
Oh, that's bad. You've got a full night's sleep ahead of
you. It's bad.
Now, the whale boats were dangerously overloaded because the supplies were double the weight of what a crew usually took out to kill a whale. 1,000 pounds of shit as opposed to 500 pounds of shit.
And this was because of the search and recovery? They wanted to have some goods to give the people that they were searching for?
No, they were planning to be on the open water for minimum a month.
Oh, okay.
That's if everything went exceedingly well, no problems. They're out there for a month at least.
And also the whalers, the boats that they would use for the actual whale hunting, they were much, much lighter. They were made to go on top of the waves versus like cutting through them. So they're actually made of much lighter wood. And so the provisions that they put on it just to live like was sinking it almost to sea level just as it is. And that was just on food and water.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing the whalers had Bob Marley to carry them.
You can't repeat it. You did it.
No, that was a different Bob Marley joke.
No, but it's the same. It's absolutely the same.
I shoehorned it in differently.
Well, the boats had also been converted from rowboats into sailboats, which came with its own set of nautical challenges that neither us nor anyone except someone who spent their summers yachting off of Cape Cod will understand. Hmm. So just take our word that keeping these boats afloat and on course was exhausting.
I take your fucking word. I'm not trying to do that shit.
Yeah.
I like Uber. You know, I'm not doing all this. I could barely change a tire.
Yeah.
Barely change? You can't change a tire.
I do know how to.
Do I want to?
When have you changed a tire?
In Florida.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. When?
Yeah, I've changed multiple. In college, I changed multiple tires. I have changed tires.
He was fat enough to do it.
I had to.
That is true, actually.
I didn't have the money to someone come do it, so I had to do it.
I could see, like, desperate,
on the side of the road, uh-huh, and just been like, all right. And they had the fucking tire change kick in the back of the Hyundai, and I just took it out, and I was like, I know these be lug nuts. I've seen this on a TV, right? Like, I know what it is, because you know where I learned how to change a tire was from A Christmas Story.
Boom! There you
go. That's all I remember.
Only I didn't say fudge. And honestly, in the world of sketch comedy, Henry is very masculine.
Yeah.
He's the man.
That is true.
Of sketch comedy.
That is true.
Very masculine.
Because in sketch comedy, they all have beards, but none of them are masculine.
That's exactly. But Henry's actually a man.
I came with a beard.
Yes.
That's right. Well, the men divided themselves into two shifts to allow for rest. But because of the massive waves in certain parts of the open sea, and because the ships were, as Henry said, very light, each team had to deal with a near constant terror of getting separated from the group. Oof. When the waves got high, because they just kept disappearing and reappearing.
Well, it is wild because, like, scary. This is where it really gets, like, the atmosphere of it gets very scary.
Yeah.
Because now you've been drifting along. You've been on this boat for, was I think, a year? Right? How long were they on the boat?
A little over a year. Like, year and 3 months.
That's your home.
On the Essex.
Right? This is so long.
So now you're gone, and you're middle of the water, and you're trying to, you have this thing. We're trying to maintain some form of order.
Yeah.
Right? Everything's gone to shit, but we're like, we figure if we can hang in a pod, but that's each time, like, in the middle of the ocean, the waves undulate, like, 40, 50 feet.
Right.
So you're just watching your buddy disappear, and then, like, he comes back up. He's like 100 yards over there. And then he's over there. And you're all, and they're all like, trying to yell at you from like 200 yards. And you just can't do anything. And then you're surrounded by fucking sharks.
Right.
Well, this prospect was most frightening for the boat helmed by the second mate, Matthew Joy. That boat will henceforth be known as the shitty boat.
Oh, okay.
Joy was the only helmsman without any navigational equipment. So if he were to lose contact with the other two boats, he and his men would lose all hope for survival.
How did they send the ship out without any navigational equipment? That's like a car without a wheel.
Well, it's not a ship. It's a boat. I mean, remember, these are whale boats. These are meant to go away from the main ship and come back, you know, 5 miles at most.
Right.
And so when the ship sank, remember that one sailor went down to the, you know, the lower decks and grabbed all the navigational equipment, but there was only enough navigational equipment to be split between two boats.
And
not three
boats. The lowest rank.
And he was the lowest rung.
Or it was a brutal game of eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
I mean, the last game of eeny, miny, miny, mo that you ever want to play in your life.
Absolutely.
But it was because they had to use the sun. Right, they had to use the sun. You think that it's the lead boat and the stars, but then there was a problem because it was also starting to rain. It was like really overcast, so they were lost as fuck.
It is so bizarre. You can look up in the stars, and it could be a romantic evening, and it could be totally peaceful, or it could be the most hellacious experience of your life.
Yeah, I actually find the open sky to be very frightening.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm very frightened. I don't
beautiful.
Like. I look up there for UFOs for my work. For my tales, for my journals.
And how much do you get paid for that?
Oh, it's about experience, my friend. but otherwise, the open sky I find very frightening.
Okay, interesting.
Now, considering how the crew had elected to pass on a relatively quick trip towards the islands of the South Pacific because they were afraid of mostly non-existent cannibals and gay dudes, they'd pin their hopes on being spotted by a lookout atop a whale ship. By the crew's reckoning, they could make it 2 months on the open sea, hoping to be spotted if they rationed their provisions correctly.
Okay.
So each man, and that's worst case scenario.
Right.
So each man got 6 ounces of hardtack, equal to roughly 6 slices of bread plus half a pint of water per day. Or at least that's what they got at first.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Do you want to hear sounds of what it's like to eat hardtack?
Well, I kind of do.
Is this hard hardtack or is this hardtack soaked in water? Because hardtack, you can't just eat it. You have to soak it in water first
to make it
soft.
You literally have to soak it. So listen to this clip. This comes from just some woman. She's just masquerading as someone who needs to eat hardtack. I don't know why we're doing this.
Is this sailor ASMR?
Yes, this is sailor ASMR. So, hey, whore, arr. Arr, arr. So we hear this. You want to hear this?
Okay, let's try taking a bite now that the piece is a little bit smaller. Here we go. Itadakimasu.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Sounds like bones crunching. It sounds like chocolate chicken.
She didn't soak it. And she said someone like chicken litter. And she was like, I'm going to break my teeth.
Yeah. Sounds like teeth being eaten by
Winston,
teeth.
I'm sure you're everywhere.
That sounds like someone eating a Triscuit. Like a really old Triscuit.
Yeah, that's what I like. Yeah.
Well, someone's aroused out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And most people are like viciously upset.
Yeah.
Wow, that first crack.
Yeah. Well, because it's extremely hard.
Right. Yeah.
And I technically didn't eat the bones. I licked the bones of what little meat was left on the bones. That was, great. But the bones were covered in chocolate.
I really hope the people that just tuned in don't realize that was a dream. Because it's 50-50.
Who knows?
Yeah, the rancid meat. Well, each boat also had two tortoises in case of emergencies.
Oh, yeah, because they sing songs.
I know. It's kind of cute.
And what's nice about the tortoise, yeah, because you got it's bumpy and lumpy. And they're full of funny jokes. And one's voiced by Nathan Lane.
Oh, that's funny.
And the other one's voiced by Pete Davidson, challenging choice.
I love it.
And they are just not knowing what in the living fucking hell they're about to live in. They're in a Pixar world.
Yeah.
And they didn't know they're about to be boiled, entrails and all, in their own backs.
Honestly, Pete Davidson would make a great turtle.
I'm already mad that I said it because
it actually works.
I need these roles.
Kind of a slow draw, kind of a
I need these roles.
Simple sense of humor, but very funny.
We could maybe get you a chipmunk. Would you like a chipmunk?
Oh, yeah. You could be a chipmunk.
I'll take it.
I could see Angry Squirrel.
I could see that.
Give it to me. Write this for me.
It's got
to
be, because it's got to be a little heavy set, you know?
Yeah, he has me eating all those nuts so he can't really talk.
I know.
And then it's also something you can edit easily out of the movie. You know how bad you got to be when you edit a Pixar movie, when they edit you out of a Pixar movie?
Yeah. Millions of man hours of these poor people in Taiwan carving these Pixar characters out of the mountains.
Oh.
It's just gone.
Well, what really got everybody down in that first week or so were the nick fits. Each sailor went through 70 pounds of tobacco during each 2-year voyage.
Woo.
But now everyone had to go cold turkey in a situation that would have been hard even with a steady fix.
Dude, nightmare, dude.
It's weird because I never thought of that angle before until I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. They also have to quit smoking cigarettes throughout this entire process.
Wow. That makes it much more difficult. I mean, the nicotine back then, it wasn't quite as dirty as the Marlboros, was it?
You're smoking pure leaf tobacco.
Yeah.
No, this is good Virginia nicotine right here. Now, this is solid. No fiberglass in this.
That's what I like to hear.
I love the idea of it, but I just don't
smoke.
Just don't smoke.
Yum.
I do like the idea.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. It's a terrible thing, but it's a wonderful thing. God, I miss it.
Just up against your lips. First thing in the morning, it's the only thing
Don't do this to Marcus. Don't do this to Marcus.
I'm away enough at this point where I can fantasize quite nicely.
Yeah.
I got my little patch.
Okay.
It's four of them on. Yeah. It's like, what's really strange is you don't see he's got four on him, the shape of a crucifix.
It's very bizarre. He actually invested in the nicotine tarp and he sleeps on it at night.
You want to talk about dreams? Where do you think the chocolate chicken dream came from?
I know.
Yeah. But to deal with this situation, this horrible situation, some men tried either clinging to a sense of normalcy or they nervously fidgeted. First mate Owen Chase continued keeping a ship's log, which is why his later account of the ill-fated voyage was so vivid. Second mate Joy, however, spent his time twisting stray strings of rope into an ever-lengthening piece of twine. And oddly and miraculously, that piece of twine survived the journey, even if second mate Joy did not.
Wow. Spoilers!
To make matters worse, it soon became clear to the sailors that the sea itself was intent on slowly torturing and killing each man.
Captain's log. Pretty strong today. It's a floater. You can imagine it's a poop.
Yeah. Yes, I imagine. Do.
Imagine that it's a poop.
What's weird is that you say that and I just imagine a butt with a poop coming out of it.
Yeah. Captain's log.
Guy with a big hat on looking back at it.
Yeah. The constant spray of salt water caused sores to develop over every piece of exposed skin, and the boats had to be constantly bailed out due to the massive waves that kept filling their boats with water.
What a nightmare.
In one particularly large splash, much of First Mate Owen Chase's rations in his boat, much of his rations of hardtack became soaked in seawater, which caused every piece to become infused with salt.
Which actually might be good for the hardtack in terms of seasoning.
In terms of seasoning, but in terms of nutrition, it was absolutely horrible. Mm. Wrongly thinking that something was better than nothing, Chase insisted that his men continue eating the salty provision.
You eat that fucking salty cracker, boy. You eat that salty cracker, I made it for you, boy.
It'd be nice if the ocean also created pepper.
It'd be nice.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if the ocean created tarragon? Wouldn't it be nice if the ocean created lobster?
I was just saying salt and pepper go together.
Well, this eating this salty ass hardtack only made their dehydration worse. It's like eating nuts at a bar.
Yes, of course, but they didn't have the tap of Bud Light Lime to go down, wash it down with.
Oh, embracing branding.
Yeah. Embracing branding, even though I'd never had Bud Light Lime, it was Bud Light Margarita.
That's how well it's been planted.
Yeah, remember, it's the reality thing.
The medium is the message.
I'm a Michelob Ultra guy now anyway.
You could tell.
I'm a Pacifico boy these days. West Coast. Hollywood Marcus drinks Pacifico.
I'm a Dos Equis woman.
Nice.
I'm a big-titted woman. I love my Dos Equis. I sit around. I eat my half-price Applebee's fucking appetizers because I can, because I'm fucking carried a child in this world.
Absolutely. You're allowed.
Well, as if all that wasn't enough, Chase's boat began sinking, and men from Captain Pollard's boat had to come over to help repair the leak with a board that was already filled with old nail holes from previous repairs.
Wow.
This would be a constant repair. They would have to go on in all the boats. Daily nightmare. Additionally, the weather wasn't cooperating either. For days, the convoy sailed in overcast conditions, which made determining their location by the stars or even really the sun impossible. Mm. All they knew was that they were sailing parallel to the South American coast towards nothing close or warm enough to matter.
It's just in the novel, it says that about the idea of, like, that's how you know they were real Nantucketers, was that instead of going to easily accessible islands, they continued on into the open waters.
Yeah, why not just go to one of the fucking islands?
We said before, they're afraid of being gay.
Well, it's also that a Nantucketer is more comfortable on the sea than he is on land.
Nantucketer wants to be in a chair.
That is true. That's how they're comfortable.
Well, that's the other thing, too. It's like, remember, all these guys, you can't stretch out. You're curled up into a ball.
25
this entire
feet.
Time.
Oh, just imagine seven dudes. This is like how big? This is like a 15-foot room where four dudes in it. I smell each one of you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, can you imagine what it would be like if fucking there was a fucking 25-foot, you're all crammed in, each one of you just wondering when it's finally going to turn romantic?
Yes. Take it to the island, would you? Yeah, get an island.
But when the sea itself wasn't trying to kill these men, the things that lived in the sea were. On November 27th, 1 week out, Captain Pollard's boat was attacked by a killer whale who quite literally took a bite out of the boat.
Jeez.
He then played with the vessel like a cat, toys with a mouse before killing it.
You're just watching this gigantic beast. Can you imagine if you get to a point where you have to punch a killer whale in the face?
Yeah.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
Like if that's the last thing you got, is that you have to use your hands, your digital mandibles.
Well, they did. They punched the killer whale, and they also tried poking it with these little poles, because if they tried to harpoon it, fucker's going to attack and kill all of them.
Leave us alone. Leave us alone.
Well, you know, when it comes to all wildlife, a bop in the nose will do it.
Usually it
does. There's something about a bop in the nose, even with a bear.
Well, sometimes they got locationers.
Yes. Yes, they do.
And a locationer is... Never heard that word in my entire life.
Map glands. That are in a, what can I say that's made up? It is not good. It hurts them.
I got it. Okay.
Yes.
But thankfully, punching the killer whale was enough.
Okay.
And once it left, Pollard transferred their provisions to another boat while they had to do another patch job.
Oh, my God.
Now, as we said, the sailors were allowed half a pint of water each day, but the human body requires bare minimum twice that to properly function. We need 1 pint of water per day.
Mm-hmm.
But even though two boats were doing relatively okay, the health of the men in Chase's boat was cratering because he was still insisting that they eat the salty hardtack.
We are not going out to eat, all right, because we have hardtack at home.
Yeah, the hardtack at home is full of salt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, did you pay for it? You go get yourself a little job. Oh, yeah, I forget.
We all paid for it. We're not getting paid to be here.
King of money, eat the hardtack.
They're actually paying for this experience, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. At this point, none of them's getting paid for anything.
Yeah, everything's fucked. They just swam in the puddle of all their money when the fucking thing sank.
Yeah, they don't have insurance. They get home, they're done.
Wow.
And so, 10 days in, Chase decided, since his men were very sick, time to slaughter the first tortoise.
Yay.
Oh, no.
Pete Davidson's going under the fucking
knife.
Oh,
my God, I can't believe I'm a turtle. Could you believe?
You're making fun of someone. He's 15 years younger than us. Let's make fun of Nathan Lane.
Yeah, make fun of Nathan Lane. What's Nathan Lane sounding
He's
like?
He's a Broadway star.
Yeah.
All right? And it's harder to be a Broadway star than any one of what we do here. All I've seen it.
You're just jealous of anyone who's not 40.
I like the young.
Of course.
After flipping it on its back, Chase slit the reptile's throat and collected what came out in cups that were passed out to the men who could stomach a belly full of blood.
Can you imagine that? You're all just hungrily jumping on. They talk about how they're licking their lips like as he slit this turtle's
turtle
going
blood?
I'm Pete Davidson. He slits his fucking throat, right? The blood's pouring out of it, and they're all like trying to catch it while it's fresh.
Yeah.
They're like sucking at it like it's a water
fountain. Can you get, what's worse to drink if you're dehydrated? A little bit of salty water or blood? Isn't blood full of salt and everything else?
Somewhat accepted method of survival, blood. You know, you can actually drink blood.
Can you drink your own blood?
But
I feel like
it's not going to be good for you because it's sort of, it's not going to be good. Yeah, you're kind of recycling.
It's like drinking water when you're taking a piss.
Yeah, and just going back out. It's right. It's like eating your own cum when you're starving, like on a boat, right? Like if you keep eating your own cum and you keep eating your own cum, like technically it's food, right? You can make food.
No, technically it's not.
There's protein in it, right?
Yeah.
But that's the thing is that at some point your body is going to stop producing protein rich.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And then you're just making.
Then you're pregnant.
Diminishing returns.
Yeah, and then you're just like, what am I even doing?
Yeah.
What is the deal with what I'm doing?
And that's how you make a little sailor.
Yep. Yeah. Well, the biggest risk when you drink blood, it might be full of disease-causing pathogens.
Uh-huh.
But if you avoid that, then you actually got something that's somewhat okay, just so long as you don't drink too much of it. Because if you drink too much of it, iron poisoning.
That's also an issue.
Yeah.
We need a turtle blood sharing zone.
Well, it's kind of funny because if you're drinking blood, you're already fucked.
Oh, you're fucked. Yeah.
Well, you're at this point, you may not be fucked, but you're prolonging the period in which you may eventually be fucked.
But also, aren't the turtles starving, number one? And how much blood is in a freaking turtle?
Fair amount of blood in a turtle.
Is there?
An okay amount of blood in a turtle. It's an 80-pound beast. I mean, most of that shell.
Oh, these are 80-pound turtles.
These are tortoises.
These are huge. I'm thinking little guys.
No,
these
are huge.
Massive
technically,
turtles.
We are being nonchalant with the fucking turtle and tortoise.
Oh, okay.
These are tortoises.
They're huge.
These are massive. Yeah, 80 to 100 pounds each.
Okay.
But yeah, you can get a fair amount of blood from that. Fair amount.
I could see that.
Yeah.
You ever seen how much blood if you stomp a squirrel to death?
It's a lot of blood.
It splatters, man. You'd be crying. Blood goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can clean and clean and clean and clean and you just still see it. It's like you're looking at it and it's like, I still see the blood. But I know it's clean because I've cleaned it. Other people have been in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at it and I was like, but I see the blood.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, you shouldn't be killing all those squirrels.
Yeah. Get out of my fucking house.
They've done nothing wrong to you.
Now, even though some men refuse to drink the blood, all of the men ate the meat. Many were drawn instinctively to the vitamin-rich heart and liver.
Mm.
And if you'll remember, this was also a popular culinary choice amongst the Donner Party.
Ooh.
That's where all the vitamins are.
That's where the meat is. A heart actually can fetch you about 650 calories, a human heart.
Is that right? Good. That's called the offal. Is it the offal?
Offal.
Okay.
But at the end of it all, each sailor got 3 pounds of meat, a pound of fat, and at least half a cup of blood.
Okay.
Imagine just eating straight up tortoise fat, just room temp.
Yeah. But no, if you're that hungry, though, that's probably what you need.
Thinking back, Chase very much regretted not slaughtering every tortoise and hog that survived the wreck. You know, they could have slaughtered them, they could have cooked them, they could have saved them for the journey to come.
Yeah.
Hindsight's 2020, though.
Right.
They didn't do that.
But it's the year 2023. Can we stop saying that now?
No, it's about vision. It's not about the year.
It's not about the year.
It's about 20/20.
Yeah, like you can see 20. I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. That's what it's about.
That's what it's
all about.
There's
the show 2020.
Yes.
Is that about hindsight as well?
Kind of. And in hindsight, that show doesn't really hold up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. And in 2020 is not then hindsight is.
No, it is not. Very right. Very correct.
Live from your grave.
By the end of the day, the last decision we want to worry about is what's for dinner. My main question is, where's my children and wife? Why is this house burning to the ground? See, this is where Home Chef comes in, especially during these trying times. Say goodbye to meal planning, recipe-induced stress, and last-minute grocery store runs, and let Home Chef bring simple, delicious home-cooked meals right to your door. Home Chef makes your nightly routine easier and more exciting with a wide selection of delicious meals that arrive at your doorstep in the form of fresh, perfectly pre-portioned ingredients and an easy-to-follow recipe card. You can do it. Missing your head, you can make these meals. You don't have time to cook? You gotta finish shredding all the files at your white-collar job? Have a hot, delicious meal on the table and a snack with quick decisions like their 15-minute recipes. For a limited time only, go to homechef.com/left for 75% off your first box. Again, go to homechef.com/left for 75% off.
Now, the convoy of three boats became more and more difficult to keep together the weaker the men got, and too much time and effort was being lost in attempting to reassemble constantly. So, in the interest of the group, it was decided that it was up to every boat themselves to stay in sight of the others. And if they couldn't, that was that.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Now, it seemed on the 17th day that some luck was coming their way in the form of a heavy rainstorm. Hey, we got a refresh on the water.
So yeah, they want the rain.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
But the sails that they used to catch the water already filled with salt water. So the water that they caught was too brackish to drink.
That got fucked up as well.
Got fucked up.
Oh, just open your mouth like you're a seagull, look up to the heavens and get some rain.
That's what they said they did. They would just lay back on the bottom of the boat and just open their mouth and just let it come in and just wait for it to be over.
Wow.
That's a long night.
Yeah.
That is.
Finally, though, the skies cleared, and Captain Pollard was able to determine their location using his navigational tools.
Yes.
Finally, they're going to get oriented.
When my nipples are hard, I know we are going north. And when my penis is soft, I know everything's going south.
All right.
Much to his horror, he found that even though they traveled 1,100 miles in 3 weeks, they were actually farther from South America than when they'd started.
Good news and bad news, guys. We traveled 1,100 miles. 11,000 miles?
1,100.
1,100 miles.
Yeah, we did it, yeah!
Bad news, the wrong direction.
This is not even good news at all.
Oh,
did you
my
understand that you
God.
Use that as a frame of good news, bad news? But it's just bad news.
Holy yeah. crap.
That means they now had 3,000 miles to go.
Well, at some point, this captain's going to get killed by his crew.
My thing is, I hope that they can just fall in love enough because then maybe they'd be able to walk 5,000 miles.
The pretenders.
Proclaimers.
Oh.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, the pretenders were an entirely different band.
Tell
well,
them,
I would
Marcus.
Assume so.
Yeah, that's Chrissy Hine. She was in that. The Proclaimers. That was a couple of Scottish twins.
Drag him, King.
Love that song, though. Love that song. Oh. Underrated song. I think if you look at that song with fresh eyes, it's very catchy.
Yes.
It's very nice.
That's great. That's great.
It's a nice song.
You got served.
I didn't mean to open up that vault of miscellaneous music knowledge.
That's all Marcus is. He's just a pile of that. Mm-hmm. He's got a couple of slices of chicken parm in there and nicotine juice.
That's it. That's all you need.
All right.
Now, at this point, they still could have gone to Tahiti. Tahiti's still on the table.
Go to Tahiti.
Did you imagine how many, like, begging people to go to Tahiti?
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
It is.
They could have been there in under a week. And additionally, Tahiti would allow them to sail with the winds and waves, reducing the strain on their boats.
Wow. 'Cause
their boats are falling apart. Their sails are falling apart.
Yeah.
But because of their prejudice, stubbornness, and stupidity, they stuck to the original plan, South America or bust.
Oh, wow. They're just so stupid.
As a result, they were about to endure another 2 months at sea.
Oh, my God.
Or at least the survivors had two more months at sea. Some had far less.
Spoilers!
Uh-oh. I'm assuming it ends horribly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, concerning the crew's ever-dwindling provisions, there may be some of you who, like our dear friend Ed Larson, you may ask, why not just fish?
Why not just fish?
This fucking genius.
Great point. Fantastic point.
Why not just fish?
Why not just fish?
They tried.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Again and again. No luck.
The whole ocean just keep on trying.
Apparently, it's like hard to fish.
It's really hard when you don't have fishing poles, when you don't have any sort of equipment.
Can they spike and get a spear?
No, most of the time they would fashion together whatever the clothes they could and make one of the guys dress up as a lady. Oh. And then he'd go like, here, Mr. Yeah, fish. Come on, Mr. Fish.
Yeah.
And it turns out all these fish are also gay.
Yeah.
So, it's the entire ocean.
Well, if they were gay, they'd be attracted to him because he's dressed as a lady. But that was the original
cast. No, because he identifies as a lady. But this is a fun. You want to get into this?
Let's get into that. No, but that's the original catfishing.
Yes.
Sure.
See? Wow. See?
Also,
actually,
why not
interesting
just,
because that
he's the one that usually brings it off the rails. Why are you doing that?
He's doing it. But why not just dip your hand in like blood?
Noodling. You're talking about noodling.
Yeah. Put it in the water. Just wait for something to freaking bite. Pull it up and eat it.
Yeah. That doesn't work.
I just don't know.
All right.
Whatever it was,
that only works with catfish. Men in Oklahoma can't read.
And, well, they can read. They can read.
No, the also, men who knew
it. It works in carping as well. It doesn't really mean carp that way, I think.
Yeah. Carp is when you grab them by the pussy.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. The only luck they had was when a school of flying fish flew up and accidentally jumped into one of their sails.
Literally, like, it had to jump into the boat.
That's amazing.
Instinctively, Owen Chase picked one up and devoured it whole, scales and all.
I believe it.
But that was the last lucky fish he had.
Can you imagine being the rest of that fucking crew watching this piece of shit, who, by the way, played by Chris Hemsworth in the fucking movie.
Yeah.
If you look at a picture of him, he looks like if Abraham Lincoln was missing the other half of his face.
Wow.
He is. I cannot believe they chose this model to play him.
Reminds me a bit of a DeVito's penguin.
No,
fish.
Now, the shrinking water rations were starting to get to the men. So some began drinking seawater, even though they knew it was deadly. Others started drinking piss.
Okay.
Which isn't as bad, but still not great.
Yeah, because you kind of need the water to make the piss good enough to drink. But again, if you're drinking piss, you're just making double piss.
Yeah, you're making double piss.
Mountain Dew. It's the color of Mountain Dew.
The yellower the piss, the less nutrients you're going to get from it.
Yeah.
And that the more unpleasant it is going to be to drink. That's why in piss porn, everyone drinks a lot of water. Everyone's piss
It's literally quite, just water, basically,
yeah, quite
at that
clear.
Point.
Yeah, because again, that's mostly for the crew. I think, because if you're already drinking piss, we really talk about quality. Like, when it comes down to it, are we really going to sit and rate this like it's different styles of water?
There are differences.
But I think to make it less pungent for the crew.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to. Yeah.
I always hear a porn set is the smelliest set you'll ever work on.
I heard tell from sound ops on porn sets that it is the sounds that you hear up close will make you not attracted to things anymore.
There's a bar that I go to sometimes, and one of the guys, he takes the pictures of the porn sites, but then he's former military, he's former Marine. If a butt plug goes in wrong, he's got to take it out.
Wow, good for him.
It's very weird. He told me a bunch of stories, and I didn't know if I wanted to hear them or not.
That's why I think these sex workers are brave as hell. They're covered in piss, and they still show up on time.
Yeah. Hey, he does say that, for the most part, everyone is on time.
Ah, yeah, I bet so.
Yeah.
Well, for the most part, the men of the Essex began to enter the cottonmouth stage of thirst.
Uh-oh.
As per author Nathaniel Philbrick's description, the sailors' saliva became thick and foul-tasting, and their tongues clung to their teeth and the roof of their mouth.
Oh, and all brutal. They do is moan and moan.
What else can you do?
Well, because speech was difficult, but they were compelled to endlessly complain, and their voices would become cracked and hoarse until they could no longer be understood.
I'm so Go to sleep.
Imagine being there with Holden.
Oh, God.
Where's my video game?
He wouldn't have lasted four hours.
I can't sit here without my Switch.
We would have had fish, I'll tell you that much. Great bait, Holden. And just go bite him, pull him up, grab the fish, put him back in.
Well, speaking of lumps, lumps would form in their throats. And they wouldn't go away no matter how much they tried to swallow. Imagine that.
Brutal.
A severe pain settled into their heads and necks. Their faces felt maddeningly full because their skin started shrinking. And a lot of them began to hallucinate.
I think that one turtle sounds a lot like Pete Davidson,
would
man.
Would you just leave Pete Davidson alone? Also, you just got him cast as another turtle.
On the worst cases of dehydration, in a story retold in the book In the Heart of the Sea, the tongue hardens because saliva is no longer produced. Oh. And while speech becomes impossible, moaning does not.
It never does.
Oh, God.
The body then begins to mummify itself in a stage called the blood sweats.
Yeah.
The eyelids crack and begin to weep blood.
Ooh. I mean, it's metal, but yeah. It's fucked. Yeah, it's
God.
Finally, a sort of living death occurs just before actual death, in which the lips disappear as if amputated. The teeth and gums project from the mouth. Flesh turns black and dry. The nose withers and shrinks to half its length, and the skin turns gray and rips like the skin of a neglected nursing home resident.
All right, everyone, you can insert your Mitch McConnell joke here.
See, I was going to do a Nicole Richie from 1997 joke.
She was full of water.
And all this after only 7 days without water. That's all it takes.
Yeah, 7 days. That's a boatload of time.
That's a Ringu's amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, as far as the men on the Essex went for salvaging food at sea, they weren't completely helpless, but the best they could do was scrape the bottoms of their whale boats for gooseneck barnacles.
Oh, that's bad.
It is.
Gooseneck barnacles.
Actually considered delicacies in Morocco, Portugal, and Spain.
It's another one of those things where sea bugs are actually kind of delicious, but people don't want to eat them because technically they're all full of dirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But eventually...
They're called zebra mussels in the Midwest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, zebra mussels. You had to scrape your boat if you went out on the lake. You got to scrape it off.
But you don't eat them?
No, they're an invasive species.
But you don't eat them, but that's a good way to stop them. It's mussels, right? Can you eat them like mussels?
No, they're not like that. They're an invasive species. You're supposed to just kill them.
Yeah, you don't eat every bird that you come across.
Oh, I eat whatever I can catch.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen you running around with your mouth open.
Come here, bud.
Well, eventually, the route the crew had taken landed them in one of the Pacific Ocean's sterile regions, so far from land that the only living things exist at the bottom of the sea.
Uh-oh.
Additionally, this area had no wind, meaning the men were dead in the water.
Oh, my God. They just really messed this up.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. So, on the third day of total calm, Pollard took a gamble and gave the men double rations during the day so they would have the strength to row out of the calm to once again reach wind. And this actually helped with morale because it finally gave everyone something to do. Because
they're just like, I guess that's like the kind of the hidden thing of all this is that mixed with obviously terror, pain, thirst, hunger, is the boredom.
Tedium.
The straight up boredom of it, of like, because what are we talking about? Like one of the worst things about like being in solitary in prison is that you're kind of like left with this, like you feel every minute of the day. And these are guys that are sitting, they're losing the ability to communicate because they are so thirsty. And so they are just lazing and just watching the, like, cause then technically it's beautiful out too, right? Cause the sky's clear, you're in beautiful waters, is all the shit. And you're just dying there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, by noon the next day, it seemed as if the gamble paid off because they did indeed find wind.
Oh.
But it was blown in the wrong direction.
There you go.
Yeah. Plus, always back problem.
To, yeah. Yeah.
Plus, since they doubled rations, they no longer had enough water to last 30 days, even if they caught the right wind. Their hair was starting to fall out and their skin was covered in sores. And so miserable was their existence that the men developed a mantra that they'd repeat again and again.
Patience. Long-suffering.
Patience and long suffering.
Just shut up.
Patience and long suffering.
You're making it so much worse.
Patience and long suffering.
You're an ad. Oh my God, he's an ad.
But when all hope seemed lost, a young sailor named William Wright was heard to shout,
"Land ho!"
Oh, hello.
Miraculously, the men had accidentally found land.
Great. Get off the boat.
The island, surrounded by rocky cliffs and appearing to be filled with vegetation, was quickly determined from Pollard's navigation book to be the Dutchy Island.
Extraordinary!
Great, who cares? Go to it!
This was, of course, wrong. It was not the Dutchy Island, but it was close.
Deucey Island.
Deucey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I watched the masked men from the Nantucket history exhibit explain Deucey and say Deucey and Deucey. Every single time they said, I went, well, Deucey.
Think about it.
But I like Dutchy because that song, Pass the Dutchy on the Left Hand Side. I love that song.
That's a cool fucking chill ass song about how weed needs to be fucking weed needs to be legal. And you need to spread it because it's got Jaws love in it.
Yeah. Sure.
But this is not that.
Sung by children.
All right. So either way, it's an island that they can go to and perhaps survive.
Yeah. The crew had actually come upon Henderson Island, 70 miles west of Ducey Island and close to Pitcairn Island, only 400 miles away, Pitcairn Island. And Pitcairn was where the crew of mutineers who'd taken over the HMS Bounty had settled and established a community in 1789.
Okay.
And by 1820, the year the Essex sank, the Mutiny on the Bounty community was flourishing. And they could have easily and happily taken care of the entire Essex crew.
Go 70 miles away.
No, it was 400 miles
but
away.
But still, after traveling all this, they could have gotten there.
They could have gotten there. They could have avoided no fatalities. They could have all come through it with just a little bit of a sunburn and some sores. But Pitcairn Island wasn't listed in Pollard's navigation book.
Who cares?
They had no idea it was out there.
Yeah.
They had no clue that it was only 400 miles. They could have gotten there in 4 days.
Not wild.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are making mistake after mistake after mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just didn't know about that one.
Well,
but
that one's just a tragedy. That's that's just you call that an annoyance.
An annoyance.
I find all this so interesting just thinking about, like, there's so much just open water.
Yeah.
That, like, people can still find these places and live. Like, that group went and just, like, they're just living the pirate's life. Mm-hmm. They're literally just living.
Sounds
and,
fun.
Like, they made a community and whatever.
Yeah. And instead of going to the Pitcairn Islands, the men took their chances on the mysterious island ahead.
Let's go over to that island. I bet we can get 10 seasons on that island. We don't even have to figure out how it ends. We'll just figure it out as we go. I would also maybe argue that the ending was a bit misunderstood. And perhaps it was much better and deserves a second look from the community. It might have been rushed. And they didn't have a plan. Perhaps maybe they didn't have a plan at the beginning, but I think the ending was a tad bit underrated.
But we'll do it different because we'll tie the ending into the beginning.
There you go. We have a lost apologist. I like that show to some degree when it first
Call
came
me when it's found.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, first mate Chase and two men swam ashore and walked the beach where they found a trickle of fresh water in the cleft of a rock.
Nice.
This was enough to warrant a full search for a freshwater source. So the crew of the Essex disembarked to the lost-like island.
You're welcome.
Where they gathered crabs and fish for a feast.
Nice.
Stretching out their bodies for the first time in a month.
Can you imagine that? And then they're just fucking, they're eating whatever's got legs.
Just stay there.
Yeah. The next day, the men found chicken-sized birds.
Nice.
And the birds, they'd never seen a human. So they made no attempt to escape.
Nice.
And they all got eaten.
Yeah, man. That's what happened to the dodo.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
The same thing, because they were just friendly, because they didn't know that we should be feared.
That's where the dumb as a dodo, that's where you get the saying from, because they thought that they were dumb, but no, they weren't dumb, they were just really nice.
They were innocent.
Yeah,
but
innocent.
Now the dodo is a great Instagram page where you get to see dogs do cute stuff. Or cat, why is that cat friends with a squirrel?
Oh, no, Natalie watches the one where it's just like, we saved this Labrador from the bottom of a slave.
You have to watch until the end and when it recovers.
Like, I was like, but you're watching the beginning where I'm watching this like cavernous face, like dog with like flies in its eyeballs. Yeah. It's like, I hate this.
Then it gets better. That's the point.
I mean, I'd much rather watch my films where I see a naked woman get cut in half every day.
Terrifier. One and two.
I love both.
Well, the men who still had the strength and the shoes, because not every man had shoes by the time they got there, they spent days gathering every bird they could find for a nightly bird banquet.
Nice.
As far as the freshwater went, they soon found a spring bubbling from a hole in a large flat rock, which they used to fill their barrels, even though the spring was only available for half an hour when the tide was at its lowest. Unbeknownst to the crew, however, there was a cave on the island filled with the skeletons of 8 shipwrecked men.
Cool.
They'd never discovered any spring and had most likely died from dehydration.
Dead men tell no tales.
That's good. Now, honestly, can you imagine that? Like, everything's cool. Like, you're like, we made to survive. It's just such a movie moment. Yeah. There's so many movie moments in this whole story.
We're going to be like, just fine.
We're going to be just fine.
Pans
over to all of them. Like, the skeletons just hanging in the exact same positions.
Wow.
Now, after filling their water barrels to the brim, the crew continued eating every bird they found, which was pretty easy because they all came to the shore every morning to feed their young. Centuries long. Centuries long.
Living life here. And then all of a sudden you got these new monkeys.
Yeah.
They're killing everybody.
Yeah, sure.
And there was also seahawks everywhere. But when the crew had eaten all the ground birds after just 5 days, the seahawks also disappeared. Now, many years later, it was discovered by archaeologists that a small group of Polynesian people had lived on this island for centuries, but the crew of the Essex had rendered the entire island almost barren in less than a week.
It's kind of symbolic.
It's only 21 people.
But I still will say Pocahontas is wrong.
Okay.
Because she should have come up with crypto her fucking self.
Yeah, indeed. But I guess they could have tried to breed the birds. I don't know.
I don't know. I can't. You're gonna be like, now make them fuck. Make them fuck. No. You just would need to live there over time. You would have to build those cultures. A lot of the Polynesian cultures, they would travel that's like how they would live. They would live while they traveled. And they would come from, remember listening, we went to Hawaii when they talked about how the island was discovered. And basically it was Polynesian people watching birds go the opposite direction, and they would just follow the birds as far as they could because they knew that they were going to land.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what they would do. They would track to these places and they find them, and then because they were used to living like this.
Yeah.
So they had provisions and stuff by the time they would arrive.
Yeah. They actually knew how to do it.
Just eating a lot of birds in that 5 days.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Live from your grave.
I've heard that when cats are healthy, they're happy. That makes us happy, right? Especially because I don't have to hear all these people with cats being sad. But since we're not mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are healthy, right? Because helping you know that your cat's healthy is just one reason. I recommend Pretty Litter. Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It changes colors to help detect early signs of potential illness, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues. Because I know we have been just grinding through Pretty Litter at our home. I do my worst. And as soon as I'm over that litter and leaving my deposits, Natalie comes in the room, doesn't even know I just used it. And I check it around because it went fuchsia a couple times. And I checked it out and I brought it to the vet and they said, please stop using the Pretty Litter yourself. And I was like, I want to know what's wrong with me. Why does the litter keep going purple? Pretty Litter helps keep my cat healthy and it keeps odors down. You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do. Go to prettylitter.com/LPOTL to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/LPOTL to save 20%. prettylitter.com/LPOTL.
Now, obviously, 21 men couldn't survive on this island for very long. So on December 27th, 1820, Captain Pollard decided to set sail en route to the Chilean coast. Still that original fucking plan. Okay. 3,000 miles away.
Exit stage left. And then you're like, uh-oh.
But there were some crew members who refused to return to the ocean, or at least they refused to return to the leaky whale boats.
Mm-hmm.
And so the seafarers, probably happy that their rations just got a little bit larger, they shared what provisions they could spare, and they left 3 men on the island to construct a shelter and wait it out.
It was very emotional.
I would do that.
In my position, I would definitely do it. I'll just stay on this fucking island.
Yeah, because you got leaves you can eat.
Yeah.
Right?
Come get me later.
Who knows? Because that's what he said. They promised. It was very solemn. And they promised, saying that we will come get you. They're like, sure. Yep. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily believe it, but it would be difficult to procreate with 3 men.
Well, that's the thing. You're thinking I'm out here 6 months tops.
Yeah.
And it's it's a South Pacific island. Weather's not going to turn. Well, you might hit a tsunami season or something.
I tell you
like
what,
that,
all you need to do is just keep fucking me, and then eventually I'll make some kind of dress out of clothes, and I'll carry a coconut that I'll pretend is our child.
Oh,
then in a way,
nice.
It's kind of nice in its own way, you know?
And that'll eat up like 2 months before you snap out of it.
Yeah, every family's different.
Yeah.
Then you just see me covered in coconut juice.
We choose love in this house. That's what I would say. We choose love.
Yeah. Yeah. You see me covered in coconut juice, and you're like, did you eat Tammy? You ate Tammy, didn't you?
It was an abortion, Michael.
Yes, I did. I ate our daughter.
I like Tammy better.
Tammy.
Yeah, Tammy.
Tammy the coconut.
Now, the crew who took the boats hoped that the winds would take them to Easter Island, where they could make another pit stop. But the winds took them too far south to reach it. They'd been sailing for 44 days and were no closer to the mainland than when they left. So daily rations were cut in half to 3 ounces of hardtack a day.
Oh, my God.
Then the first death came. Second mate Matthew Joy had been ill for some time, and sensing that the end was near, he requested to be moved to Captain Pollard's boat so he could die with his fellow Nantucketers.
Please. Who gives a fuck?
Please let me die with the other morons.
I'm going to throw you over the... Get out of here.
But after just a couple of hours in the other boat, he started feeling guilty for laying about. That Protestant work ethic kicked in.
I don't know. It sounds a little bit like Queen's mother's guilt of like, no, don't worry. Yes, I know. No, I can help. Oh, I'm just so thirsty. I would go, oh, I should help. Oh, she's like, sit down.
Sit down.
Psychological torture you're putting me through.
Throw him overboard.
Well, he requested transfer back to his boat so he could die with his men. And he died that afternoon.
Didn't they just have a corpse in the boat?
Well, since things weren't quite serious yet, Joy was sewn up in his clothes, a stone was tied to his feet, and he was ceremoniously buried at sea.
Okay.
Now, since Second Mate Joy's boat had lost their harpooner to island life, he was one of the guys who stayed behind, Captain Pollard ordered his harpooner to take command of Joy's crew and the whaleboat, the shitty boat.
Hmm.
It was the only one without navigational equipment. This was a bad assignment.
Yeah.
To make matters worse, Joy had neglected to ration the hardtack correctly during his illness. So the boat had, at most, 3 days of food left.
Hmm.
They were 600 miles from Easter Island, 20 days away from Henderson Island, and still 1,000 miles from Chile. There was 20 days in between the time that they left the island and now 20 days of nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
By January 14th, the third boat ran out of food and Pollard shared what he had left, which meant that he was also down to just 2 days of rations. Owen's boat was so starved that the men were having constant diarrhea from starvation.
Man, that's the ultimate, like, bad irony, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Why does the body do that all wrong?
Yeah.
Whenever you're starving, it just makes it worse. I feel like that's a mistake
in our programming. It's your body just being like, please eat. Please eat. Yeah. Please eat.
Yeah,
why are we eating? You should eat. We should eat some food. Why aren't we eating? What's happening here? Mm-hmm. It's like,
why are you making me more dehydrated with the constant diarrhea?
Because it's just turning on. The alarm system is very badly built.
It is badly built.
Yeah.
Which is evacuating for further shuttling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
And so everyone's starving. And that's when the sharks came.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought it was
Oh, no. Now, there have been plenty of shipwrecked sailors who resorted to the methods that the men of the Essex were about to resort to, and they did so in sometimes seemingly less dire circumstances. In 1710, a British trading vessel wrecked on a tiny outcropping of rock off the coast of Maine called Boone Island. Much to the frustration of the sailors, Boone Island was in full sight of the mainland. They could see America.
Yeah.
But they were still marooned out there because it was 1710.
Mm.
Yeah, and we're just fucked. And no one can see us from there. Yeah, unless they're looking for us, no one's going to see us.
Yeah, they had no provisions. They had no way of reaching help. So when the ship's carpenter died in the third week, someone suggested, maybe we can eat him.
Why don't we eat him? Who said that?
Maybe we could take a chunk out of him.
Oh my God, it's Jeff Dunham. I'm just so happy we have such great entertainment.
He was Jeff Dunham's great, 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 great grandfather, and he was also canceled.
Oh, I think he's one of the wealthiest working comedians.
That's true. Well, still finding the whole business extremely distressing, the crew begged the captain to butcher the shipmate for them. I think because it was probably the captain's fault that they were fucking stranded.
And also, he's the guy.
He's the guy.
He's supposed to die on the boat.
Yeah.
Cap's supposed to do all the hard shit, make the hard decisions.
Yeah.
So, like many other people forced to resort to cannibalism, the captain removed the pieces that made the corpse appear human first.
Oh.
The head, the hands, the feet, the skin.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. Of course. You have to dehumanize it because only like truly like guys who get off on eating humans.
Right.
They want to know it's a human.
I want to look in his eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I understand is that actually the head, cabeza, in many different foods, in many different food cultures, the head is the
That
most,
was the fattest sentence I've ever heard. Yeah.
But the head's where all the good fucking fat meat is in, actually.
No, I thought the brain, really good it'll kill you if you eat the brain, I thought it made you a little brain worms.
I'm not talking about the brain, I'm talking about face meat.
Cheek meat is
some of the most delicious meat in any other animal you could possibly do. Fish cheeks are tasty.
Dog cheeks
are tasty. If you get a hold of them, it's so difficult in the wintertime. But like, I would carve the face off of the guy.
Yeah.
Definitely, I'd carve off the face of the guy. Mm-hmm. And I'd boil that meat. I'd eat that meat, too. And I'd also boil the head.
Well,
I'd chop the skull off and then scoop the brains out. And I'd boil the bones of the head.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see you do that. What you would do.
I'm just saying.
Maybe this is why
I'm impressed.
Maybe this is why you weren't given the position. Because sometimes you can want it too much. And so we're just going to have the captain do it. No, he's a little bit more hesitant.
No, listen. We want to play off some sweet and salties in this.
The captain reduced the carcass to a hunk of barely recognizable meat, which the men reluctantly ate before being rescued soon after.
Yeah, like 24 hours later.
What?
That's just what happens.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know. You might eat a guy on Tuesday and get rescued on Thursday. You never know.
But of course, he was dead. They didn't kill him.
No,
so yeah, It's not as bad. It's definitely a secret you keep with every single person on that island.
Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about sharks, as we just were, at least one clever group of sailors thought outside the box when the man-eaters came after them, like the sharks came for the Essex.
Yeah.
This is incredible. I can't believe no one ever fucking thought of this. Instead of using dead bodies for sustenance, the men of this shipwrecked vessel, called the Polly, they used the bodies of their fellow sailors as bait to catch sharks to eat.
That's
smart as hell.
They survived 191 days at sea without eating a single man.
Perfect. Yeah. And then also, well, you get the added benefit of, like, you don't have to eat the dude you hated.
Yeah.
You get to watch him being chewed on by a bunch of sharks. And then you'd be like, that's what you get.
Yeah.
I can't believe you cheated at Sorry.
And now you got the shark.
But when the men of the Essex were attacked by the sharks, they unfortunately had no bodies to spare. Mm. They attempted to harpoon the creatures straight off without giving them a meal first. You got to slow down the shark a little bit.
Right.
But the sharks proved too slippery and too tough to even wound. And the same thing happened the next day when they tried killing a bunch of dolphins to eat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Difficult to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to really blow them up.
Nowadays, they're... Seems pretty easy to kill a dolphin.
Every marine biologist, just let you know that dolphins go to their own little churches.
You need to watch Blackfish again, my friend.
No, I know. I'm not anti it. I'm pro.
After that, as if the sea itself was taunting them, a group of three sperm whales surfaced and dove.
Remember us? Remember us, fuckers? What are you going to do?
Yeah, they did it all around the three boats. But even though the men were terrified that they'd all be smashed at any second, because all it took was a fucking sperm whale to surface right underneath them, none of them had the energy to row away.
Oh, you want to go kill these fucks? You know what? Actually, they seem pretty hard up. Let's let the ocean do it for them.
Yep.
But 2 days after the whales came to gloat, 60 days after the sinking of the Essex, they're out there for 2 months, crew member Richard Peterson, good old Dick Peterson, he declared that he was near death, and he began to refuse his daily ration.
What a declaration that is.
Men had different things, because there were several people in this story that just went, hey guys, I'm about to die.
Okay.
And then just die in front of, and then just drop.
Yeah.
I mean, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. I mean, and this is also, it's somewhat of an honor thing. It's like, guys, I'm going to die. Don't need to waste food on me. I don't need any more. I'm just going to die.
I'm just going to go over here.
I'm going to die. Yeah. His organ shut down. He fell unconscious. And on January 20th, as two of the boats neared the end of their rations, Peterson died.
Great.
Separately and coincidentally, a man on Pollard's boat also died that same day. And so, with rations low and two dead crew members just sitting there stinking.
Wanting it, deserving it, needing it.
That's when the...
Fishing started. They got all the fish on the boat.
That's when the fishing began.
They started investing into stocks and bonds because they were looking at a more responsible future for themselves and their family.
No, one more guess. That's when the...
Stand comedy happened then.
Stand-up comedy,
and they
boom.
Said, what does a mythical cow drink? What kind of milk does a mythical cow drink? Legendary.
Oh, that's when the cannibalism started.
We know.
I love that. So they, I mean, wow. These guys, to some degree, think you got to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be thankful that these people dead.
You know what?
I would say thank you. I would eat you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, every day I woke up covered in canker sores, crusted with salt, and I have to eat the stinking corpse of this dude that's been next to me, and I know how bad he stinks. I've watched him covered his shit ass, covered in diarrhea, and I know I'm going to have to eat that. I'm going to have to kind of flake it off. You know, it's really hard for me to count my gratefuls. Like, it's really hard to sit in and be like, you know what? This needs a bit of mindfulness.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's very difficult.
If I had to eat you, Henry, I would say thank you, Henry.
Yeah.
I would be thankful. I'd say thank you.
Every little slice, you'd be like, fuck you, bro.
You'd be really dead.
Well, they removed the heart, liver, and kidneys and roasted those along with whatever flesh was left
from the starved corpses.
On the boat, they were able to roast them?
Yeah. They had fire.
Oh, no.
Well, because they had made a, they brought what they could. So they had some stuff.
Okay.
And I do think a lot of it, because I know that when they did do that, when they killed the tortoises, they cut out their whole bodies. Right? Literally what they do is they would cut the top of the shell off and rip it off. Right. And then they'd scoop out all the soft from inside of it.
Yeah, we've seen Cannibal Holocaust.
Yes. And then they would cook it in the shell.
Sure.
They just set up a fire underneath the shell and would boil it. So they might have used the shell itself.
They might have, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, normally, an average human body produces roughly 66 pounds of edible meat. Roughly.
Okay.
But since these men were starved, their muscles were atrophied, and any nutritious fat was reduced to a translucent gelatinous substance.
Mm.
In addition, malnutrition also shrinks the organs. So it's likely that each man only produced 30 pounds of edible meat, which isn't much for 16 starving men.
Right. It's not. No, no. It's barely enough for us.
Yeah.
Just us sitting here.
Yeah.
Apparently, the two things you're really not supposed to eat in the human body are the pancreas and the teeth.
Yeah, that makes sense. I believe the teeth.
But you can boil the bones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, you can boil the bones.
Marrow, right?
Marrow indeed, in there. Indeed. But soon, other men began dying off one by one, and each man was, in turn, eaten greedily and quickly, as if the men making a dinner of their shipmates couldn't help themselves once they began.
It's the quality of eating that I think that is the part of it that you...
That's a big thing.
As a person...
Yeah.
Sitting in a house or at work.
Yeah,
you know
I mean? I want to know what you mean by quality.
It is the...
So it's not about the quantity.
It's not about the quantity.
No, but what, in your opinion, what kind of quality meat are you talking about?
Just pinched my balls. Wait,
pinched your balls. That would be good quality eating. Right?
No, not the quality of the meat. It's like how they ate was like scary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That like by the time you're eating people.
Oh,
like,
buddy.
It's not like, you're not like, okay, who's saying grace? Like you're all just like, going in and just picking apart at this fucking thing. You're all fighting over who's getting enough meat. I do believe they rationed them out.
As much as they could.
Chunk them up and be like, here, you can have some of this. You can have some of this.
So now cannibalism is in full swing.
Cannibalism is in full swing. But remember, there's also, it's meat. So there's a TikTok on it. You know, it's not going to last very long. But perhaps more important as to why the bodies seem to provide little sustenance was because the human digestive system requires some fat in the meat.
Mm.
So the human flesh they ate actually provided very little nutritional value.
I didn't know that. I watched that show Alone. You ever see that show Alone?
No. Of course.
It's better than Naked and Afraid, even though Naked and Afraid got jumblies.
Mm-hmm.
Alone is like you can bring stuff with you. So it's like a real competition. And there was this one dude who fucking... He prison style stabbed the bear to death. Like he went up to it, stab. It was the wildest thing I've ever seen. And he had hundreds of pounds of meat, but he ended up almost starving to death because there was no fat on it. Because it was an animal that had woken out of hibernation and didn't have any meat. And he was like saying that like you need to have fat.
Yeah.
Like you can have all this meat, you can literally starve to death.
You want to read the nutrition facts? That's why I have a butt tattoo of nutrition facts.
Yes. May contain sodium.
By this point, though, Captain Pollard's boat and the shitty boat, they drifted about 100 miles away from First Mate Chase's boat. The convoy was now irrevocably broken.
No!
Two boats in one spot, one boat in the other. Well, trying to buoy their spirits, Chase told his crew, because they're out there alone, that they would, quote, not die sooner by keeping their hopes.
That is the most British way.
He's basically saying, you know, it's not going to kill you to have a good attitude.
This is your fault, Owen! This is your fucking fault.
Wow, dude. I'm surprised he survived that speech.
Yeah.
He wasn't die sooner.
That's how it sounded.
By keeping all their hopes.
Might as well smile while you're dying. I'll kill you.
Yeah. Do you want to die frowning? Do you want to enter heaven with a frown on your face?
Hey, do you want to enter heaven with my arms fucking wrapped around your fucking neck in an arm bar?
It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile.
That is true. Have you ever tried to frown? It's weird.
I actually can't do it.
No, it's weird. We look like fish. Yeah. The audience can't see.
No.
Yeah, I think that frowning is something that you just have to do really naturally when you're actually disgusted and sad.
Yeah.
Live from your grave.
Meanwhile, two more sailors died on the other two boats, and both men were eaten, which may beg the question as to how these men so readily ate their shipmates, as opposed to the story of the main crew, who were so reluctant.
Yes.
Well, psychologists who study the effects that concentration camps have on the psyches of prisoners, they believe that groups of people who resort to cannibalism or other extreme methods of survival, they become reduced to a sort of feral community.
Oh, I bet. Because, you know, cannibalism was kind of practiced in certain societies. It was, but it was way more for like, we're doing this to freak them out. We're doing it to freak somebody else. Or we're doing it for religious purposes. And we're doing it to take their power. We're trying to do these things. Yeah. Or in total desperation.
Yeah. We've all seen Temple of Doom.
Yeah. These people, they enter an animal-like state in which a sort of psychic deadening kills all feelings, and it allows survivors to do what needs to be done to survive. Put in less serious terms, it's like what happens in Looney Tunes cartoons. Like when, you know, the carrot, when Daffy Duck like sees Porky Pig as not like a pig, but as like a big like chicken drumstick.
Right.
Or like a big, or someone looks like a big turkey that's running around, like Yosemite Sam becomes a big turkey.
Reminds me of the episode of Seinfeld, I believe. Was it Kramer that Kramer got turned into a turkey?
Because he started using butter. Hey, buddy. Yeah.
And also for Kramer with his stand-up comedy, he can use that legendary bit and then he can replace it with his more controversial
review. He really can.
There you go.
I look at you both, right? And what I see is some sort of like, I just see globs. Mm-hmm. I see you as a glob.
I'm a glob.
I don't see food.
Glob. I see a, you're a bigger glob. And he goes like, I, and you got a bigger car. And he goes like, thinner blob. But that's really all I see. But I think it's just cataracts.
But at some point, what that is true, right? When you are starving, you start to look at the body like you look at a cow at a barbecue restaurant. And you start to kind of carve up what parts you can eat.
I feel like we were talking about it. It's weird because that does happen. Because something breaks in the mind that allows you to look at a person and say, yummy. Where it's like, because Natalie and I always have diametrically opposite responses to food. Where like, there's that my favorite restaurant in Atlanta, when you go to Holman and Finch, like, they have a cow that's vivisected like the movie, the fucking, what's the spots with Vincent D'Onofrio.
The cell.
It's like, and she's horrified.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
And I look at him like, yeah, feed it to me.
Right. Yeah. Very Jack Nicholson Joker of you.
Thank you. But when it came to the shitty boat, events transpired that almost guaranteed that no amount of psychic deadening would save them.
Uh-oh.
Sometime overnight, on January 29th, the shitty boat drifted away from Captain Pollard's, and with no navigational equipment, they were lost. And the men inside were never seen alive again.
So all I can imagine, though, is that they ended up on that big gay island.
Had fun.
And they all
just
massaged each other, and they just figured it all out. They made this beautiful egalitarian society. They invented dominoes on their own. Just like hanging out, just fucking eating papaya.
Just channeling.
Sucking dick.
Channeling their own Richard Speck. Channeling their own Richard Speck. Being like, if they knew how much fun we were having marooned on this island, they'd rescue us.
Now, after the shitty boat disappeared, Captain Pollard was left with three Nantucket teenagers, none of them older than 18.
Jesus.
Their names were Charles Ramsdell, Barzilay Ray, and Owen Coffin.
And boys, let's rename the ship the SSI Epstein. There you go. You got it. I was going to say Einstein, but that's Super Dave.
Wow, it's a lot of references in there.
Really is.
That no child would understand.
None. Yeah,
Bob Einstein, Super Dave?
I tried to explain to Natalie who Super Dave was.
She didn't know who Super Dave was?
No, and she was like, what? And I was like, he's like the funniest guy from Canada ever born. And she's just like, I missed this whole story.
He's the guy with the raspy voice from Curb. That's Super Dave.
Yeah, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
It was iconic.
Yeah, Super Dave.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't, you know, we have to, every couple must be different.
Yes, that's
Uncle
true.
Corner. Now, I guess that was our Uncle Corner for the day.
I think so. You know, that's the thing about Super Dave is that I don't really remember Super Dave, but I do remember loving Super Dave.
That's the thing.
I couldn't tell you a single Super. It's like a Mandela effect type thing where I don't remember a single Super Dave episode, but every time you say the word Super Dave,
I'm happy.
I have the exact image in my mind. Him, the beautiful little, the American dress that he would wear. He was super, I mean, he was evil. Can he?
Super Dave. We knew who Super Dave was.
Yeah.
We all just know.
But I think
what
every
Super
single
Dave
episode
is.
Was kind of similar, where he would do something.
Yes,
super.
Yes, he'd do something stupid. Yes, but it was very funny.
Super.
But yes. But stupid, he'd mess it up.
Yeah, he always mess it up. Yeah, he's like Dorf, but a
another reference that no one that is not
Tim
specifically Con- our
everyone
age
knows
will
who
know.
Tim Conway is.
No, they don't.
Yeah,
that's a boomer.
I've tried to explain to Natalie who Tim Conway was.
Oh my god!
Hey, what's a Tim Conway?
I just get
out
of here.
Oh my God, what's a Tim Conway?
Get the fuck out of here.
Doesn't even bother me. Doesn't even bother me at all.
You've gotten psychically deadening.
Wow.
Well, Captain Pollard and these three Nantucket teenagers, they were all floating 1,500 miles west of South America with the half-eaten corpse of shipmate Samuel Reed.
Oh, my God. Just throw it overboard.
No, it's leftovers.
Yeah, it's leftovers. They're still eating on it.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, they're still eating on the corpse.
Okay.
And I think...
Oh, that's good eating around there.
Yeah. But by February 6th, the remains of Samuel Reed had been completely consumed. So... As was the long-accepted custom of the sea, Pollard and the three teenagers, at the suggestion of Charles Ramsdell, drew lots to see who should be killed so the others may live.
Such a teenager's idea. Because
no.
You could just see Pollard just sit there being like, no. You want to do that? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, you sure you want to do that?
You sure you want to do that?
Wow.
I'm going to put together the straws. You're three stupid-ass fucking child Nantucketers. Let's see what happens here.
That's incredible. So now there's...
Because I know Pollard fixed this.
Yeah.
I know he fixed it. I know he was just like, yeah, let's draw some straws.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, so now they've gone from natural death and consuming the body to killing people and consuming the corpse.
Now, at first, Pollard resisted, not least because one of the kids, Owen Coffin, was his first cousin.
Oh.
But as he had done before and would now do for the last time, Pollard gave in to democracy.
Weak.
And cut up pieces of paper, which were placed in a hat. Once the lots were drawn, the unlucky sailor was Owen Coffin.
He's like,
isn't that ironic? Don't you think?
Don't you think?
Pollard, in great distress, told his cousin that he'd shoot the first man that touched him. Then Pollard offered himself in place of Owen. But Owen, standing brave in the face of death, or possibly just wanting it all to end, he insisted he die.
Stupid, polite motherfuckers. Each one of these guys just fighting forever who's not going to die. Be like, no, it simply must be me. No, I'm the one. Shut up.
Yeah. Owen said that he liked his lot as well as any other.
Oh.
And after lots were drawn again to see who would commit the murder.
Wow.
Charles Ramsdell, whose idea all this had been anyway, he was chosen to pull the trigger.
So they're actually going to waste a bullet on this.
Not
just choke them out.
It's too late. I mean, bullets, they have not figured out how to use the bullets up to this point. This is what the bullets are
for. Why didn't they try to shoot the shark?
Long story, man.
Long story. Well, that's the thing. It's a musket. You know, it's not going to be the most accurate of shots.
Yeah, you're just going to make it all bloody.
Yeah.
Right. And then all the other sharks are probably going to attack the bloody shark.
And then it'll kill you in the process.
Yeah, and then it's going to be a feeding frenzy. Yeah. Okay. I mean, these guys have thought this through.
I'd like to think.
Yeah.
At this point, they've had a lot of time.
Yeah, they've had a lot of time. So after offering final words to be given to his mother.
Just tell my mom, Mama, your tits were so good, I wish you weren't my mother. All right?
Really nice last words.
That's great last words. Can't wait to deliver them.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll deliver those to your mother if you die early.
Yes. And after Owen Coffin commented on his mother's breasts, he was, as Pollard later wrote, soon dispatched.
Ooh.
And nothing of him left.
Dispatched to heaven.
Meanwhile.
Dispatched their fucking asses. They literally turned him into human. They earned him to shit.
Yeah. Meanwhile, over on First Mate Chase's boat, hundreds of miles away, a man named Isaac Cole lost his mind. Surprisingly, the first and only man to do so. He began to mindlessly rant, and he would twitch spasmodically. He would suddenly sit up and ask for a napkin and a glass of water. Then he'd fall down again. Then he'd pop back up, fall down, pop up. Philbrook put it as a possessed Jack in the Box.
I mean, to be honest with you, it sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
It
does.
Have you seen the movies Jack in the Box 1 and 2?
No.
Surprisingly very entertaining.
Is that a real thing?
Yes.
Okay.
That's nice. Well, Isaac Cole then moaned for 6 hours, and he died at 4 p.m.
That's a sad obituary.
I mean, thank God.
Now, at first, nobody suggested eating Isaac Cole because they believed, in a somewhat quaint 19th century fashion, that they may catch his madness.
Which is just like, dude, you're already fucked up.
Yeah.
He's the only one making sense in this whole fucking thing.
Well, you don't want to catch it.
Oh, but when everyone is crazy, is not the crazy man saying?
Yes.
So, they... It didn't make any fucking sense. Yeah, I know it didn't make any sense.
No, it's why we're going to get into World War III.
So they kept the corpse on board overnight and slept next to him with plans to bury him at sea the next morning. But just as the body was being prepared for burial, Owen Chase said, "Wait a minute, boys, let's think about this for a second. Let's think about this for a second.
Look at how thick this guy's ass is.
Pump the brakes." Yes.
He said, "Perhaps it would be better to eat a maddened shipmate who is dead than it would be to later be forced to kill a sane man."
And they're like, "What? First of all, what?"
I mean, that does make
kill
sense.
"Kill a sane man." So, no, wait, you said kill.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth. You said kill. The rest of us were just upset.
Yeah.
We don't know what to do.
They got to eat this guy.
Mm. Well, yes.
They have to.
So they made a compromise. Right now, it is three guys left on this boat.
Yikes.
Three guys left. They made a compromise. They butchered what they could from Cole's body, and they committed what they didn't eat to the sea. So they didn't bury him all the way at sea, but they didn't eat him all the way either.
Okay,
see?
They did halfsies. One for you, one for me.
Yeah. Problem was, the strips of flesh they cut off turned a rancid green by the next morning.
Good. Great. Good.
So their nutritional value was limited once again. Back on Pollard's boat, though, another teenager breathed his last. Barzilay Ray died and was eaten.
These people all literally moan themselves to death.
Yeah. And then they're just gone.
It's the death rattle.
That left only Captain Pollard and Charles Ramsdell. And they both prayed for rescue that seemed to never come.
You know what, Charles? I always figured it'd just be you and me.
Just them two on a boat.
You know what? Nothing but net. Good work, bro. Yeah. We did it.
What if he just pulls out some wine and some great cheese?
I knew this was
planned.
Pecorino, 1975.
I think you're going to love it.
Now, of course, rescue did come. Because otherwise, we wouldn't know what had happened.
Yeah, right. I mean, they'd just all be have gone and never came back.
Yeah. No. But Captain Pollard and Charles Ramsdell would not be the first round. That piece of luck went to First Mate Owen Chase.
The guy who did all of this in the first place.
Wow.
Well, Owen Chase and Captain Pollard shared some...
Yes.
They shared some responsibility.
Technically, in the end, the captain is the one who is the most responsible because he could have said, no, we're going to an island.
The captain and the cook.
Yep. Mm-hmm. On Valentine's Day, 1821, the last three men on Chase's boat ate the last bit of Isaac Cole,
ooh,
meaning they had just enough strength to row for a bit.
What did you get for Valentine's Day?
A crazy man's buttocks.
A crazy man's buttocks.
Ooh. That's what Natalie's getting.
Ooh, and they say romance is dead.
Soon they were within 300 miles of the islands of Masafuera and Juan Fernandez, with just 3 days of hardtack left. Now, right there at the end, 15-year-old Thomas Nickerson laid down, pulled a piece of canvas over himself like a shroud, and told the other two men that he wished to die immediately.
Okay.
But on February 18th, he lasted two more days as Harpooner had been...
I won't die! Let me die!
Wow. It seems like he really wanted to die.
He
couldn't even get that.
He couldn't.
It's the easiest thing one can do.
Well, as Harpooner Benjamin Lawrence fiddled with Second Mate Joy's piece of twine, a ship was spotted in the distance.
Yes.
And using their last bit of strength, Chase and Nickerson set sail and rowed to try to catch up with the ship. And soon they saw that it was a British vessel, the Indian. And when someone on board finally spotted the near sinking whaleboat, they shouted to ask, "Who are you?" And using the last of his strength, Chase yelled,
"Essex! Whale ship!
Oh.
Nantucket!"
Okay.
Meanwhile, like, do you think they're going to be like, "I don't know you"? And
I
then
don't
just
know.
Go past you?
Nantucket. I don't know.
Nantucket. That place sucks.
There's a good chance they'd just be like, "Oh, fuck it. We don't got that much time to waste. We got to get back there. We don't have that much food. We can't pick up these two hungry folks."
Go to the sea, my friend. Go to the sea.
Oh, you're a bunch of Bengals fans. Sorry.
Oh, there you go.
More like the Bungles.
There you really nailed it.
If they were French, they might have said, "Fuck you." Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might have said, "Fuck you" if they were French. Yeah.
Possibly.
And with that, the first three men were rescued.
Yay!
And brought aboard the ship ever so carefully so as to not rip their raw, drooping, ulcerated skin.
Ooh.
89 days after the Essex went into the sea, these three survivors were given tapioca pudding.
Thanks.
High
honestly
in calories and easy to digest.
I love a good tapioca pudding.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
It's good.
I don't like tapioca pudding.
I don't like boba tea, but I like tapioca pudding.
But do you mean to say bubble tea?
Yeah, bubble tea.
Boba tea. And I also don't like things that snap in my mouth, like a sausage or a grape.
Oh, yeah.
But I do love
Please roll forward.
Something about it.
I can't.
I also don't like caviar. I do not like caviar, but tapioca, for some reason.
I'll never feed anything that's like a balloon to you.
Thank you.
You're like a seagull.
I like that.
That's a myth. Seagulls can absolutely eat rice.
I don't care.
Oh, they can eat rice. Pigeons cannot. They don't throw rice at weddings.
No, that's a myth. They can all eat rice.
They don't throw it at weddings.
There's three different ways we're going to get. So this is what we're going to get the emails about. We've spent hours working on these on this episode. We're just going to be like, pigeons, that's how they commit suicide. I don't know.
No, I don't.
Well, these three survivors began the long road to recovery. Five days later, another rescue occurred, although this one was far more gruesome.
Oh, no.
Where East Chase's boat still had a bit of hardtack, Captain Pollard had shared a large bit of his provisions with the shitty boat before it disappeared beyond the waves.
Mm.
And so, when a ship from Cape Cod called the Dauphin discovered Pollard's boat, they found Pollard and Charles Ramsdell curled up in opposite corners, sucking the marrow from their dead shipmate's broken bones.
Oh. Yes,
it's scary. It is. The image is very, very scary. It reminds me in the Donner Party when they first found them. They saw the kids coming out of the fucking hole, the hovels, like just like looking like little ghosts.
Yeah, because you can just imagine the eyes when they realize that they're being seen by civilized people.
That is
like,
literally how they said it, because they were just, they've been gone for so long. Ooh. And so I think they just went through so much that they're just like,
They're delirious. Like the guys, like, they actually climbed down in the boat and tried taking the bones away from them, and they wouldn't let them go. You know, they're fighting to keep these bones. And then when they looked in their pockets were full of finger bones.
Yeah,
because they were safe for later.
Yes.
And scattered amongst them were more bones, as if the whaleboat was, in the words of one sailor, the sea-going lair of a ferocious man-eating beast.
Ooh.
Their skin was covered in sores. Their eyes had sunken back into their skulls. Oof. And their beards were caked with salt and blood.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's not a lot of refreshing going on.
No.
But nevertheless, the men were brought aboard and given food and water. And after coming to their senses, they told the tale of the Essex.
Mm.
But in telling that tale, they remembered that they'd left three guys on an island a couple of months back.
Like, oh, fuck.
Dang it.
Oh, shit. That's right, Reggie.
No, the interesting thing is I'm actually learning along with you. Because, wow, I totally missed on that. I forgot that.
So in early March, a ship named the Surrey out of Australia volunteered to go out and pick up the guys that they'd left on the island.
Okay.
If the men were indeed still alive. But when they got to what they thought was Ducey Island, because he said, I left them on Ducey Island, there was nobody there.
Right.
The entire beach was covered in birds and eggs. So no one's been here in years.
Huh.
But the captain was smart enough to figure out they're probably on Henderson Island. So when the Surrey arrived, they found that the men who had stayed behind had been having a comparatively grand old time.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'm saying.
They're just living on the island. They're just like, what up?
Yeah, for months they'd been eating tropical birds.
It was hard.
They found berries. They were eating crabs. They found eggs. They found turtles. Turtles kept washing up.
Sounds fun.
The only drawback was that the spring they'd found turned out to be temporary, and it disappeared the day after the Essex crew left.
Oh.
But the men dug wells. They collected rainwater. And when that ran low, because that didn't always work, they just drank bird blood.
And they just live life.
Living life.
No phones. Just vibing.
Just Margaritaville living.
As far as the shitty third boat went, though, there was no happy for anyone on board that.
Mm.
5 years after the Essex sank, a British Navy captain named Frederick Beechey found a whaleboat washed ashore at the real Ducey Island.
Huh.
Inside were four skeletons.
Oh, no. They shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
No.
They were determined to be the last of the Essex crew.
Oh, I guess they didn't make it to the gay island.
I guess they didn't, but it's better to go to heaven.
I don't know.
That's what they thought.
I don't think so.
That's what they thought.
Not the way they went to heaven.
No. I also don't know if any of the...
There is no heaven.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Mr. Lennon. Do you remember that when everyone's like, let's play Imagine during COVID? It's not good for COVID.
Yeah, exactly. It's imagining a world in which there's nothing. It's supposed to give, it gave John Lennon comfort.
Yeah, it did. But when a bunch of people are dying, there's no way, it's not a much of a comfort to say, like, now remember, after this, there's nothing.
Gal Gadot changed a lot in this country. And how dare you let that spy from Israel?
How I dare,
like, oh, how dare you let her fuck with my songs?
Yeah, there you go.
Now, when the survivors of the Essex arrived back in Nantucket, Owen Coffin's mother, that was Captain Pollard's aunt, she didn't particularly enjoy hearing that her son had been killed and eaten by her nephew.
You're right. Yeah, I would actually not tell her.
Nah, but they had to.
They had to. They're like, where's your son?
And you went, no, you just make it up. You're in the middle. He fell over.
Because he had to
deliver the last words.
Yeah. He said, do you remember?
What were the final true last words?
He said, tell my mother her tits are so good, I wish she wasn't my mother.
Right, so that he could suck on them.
Yeah.
Is there an alternative history that maybe he said something different?
There's an alternative history in which he said, like, I wish you were my stepmother.
So I can bang you while our real father
perhaps if you got stuck in the butter churner.
I can be on the other side of you as a randy Amish boy who's out of the religion on Rumspring.
Fantastic. All right, great. Historically accurate.
I like it when Kissel's looking for information and then we can do bits of it.
He said, no, you don't get it.
No, we don't get it.
But most in the community, when Captain Pollard came back and when Owen Chase came back and they're like, yep, we ate dudes, they completely understood that there were unwritten rules of the sea that sometimes had to be followed.
Yeah, because if you wrote those rules down, a lot less people would sail.
Yeah.
True.
And Pollard was judged to have dealt with the situation fairly and honorably. Now, since the sinking of the Essex wasn't really his fault, Pollard was almost immediately given another whaling ship.
I would never go back ever.
It's the only thing he ever knew. It's what he was born to do, quote unquote.
Retire.
Yeah. He set off to a new whaling ground west of Hawaii called the Japan Grounds. But even though it, again, wasn't Pollard's fault, his ship sank again.
Got
thrown into rocks.
Yeah. Did he die this time?
Nope. And in fact, it wasn't a big, I mean, they were sailing with another boat, so they got rescued immediately. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Okay.
But Pollard was utterly ruined because the highly superstitious whaling community now considered him an unlucky man.
I believe it's
the worst thing you can be on the high seas is considered, like, he's an unlucky man. Yeah. He's not setting foot on a fucking boat.
And just retire. Like,
guys, honestly, for the first time, I agree.
Sure.
Yes.
You're right.
Now, Pollard did attempt sailing aboard a merchant vessel, but when that life didn't suit him, he became a humble night watchman on land in Nantucket.
Yeah, he said that he would never let anybody out of his sight again.
Good. That sounds like perfect. That's what he should have done right afterwards.
Well, he was actually known as a cheerful man. He was mostly concerned with enforcing curfew amongst the kids. And supposedly, if one were to ask him if he knew Owen Coffin, he'd gregariously say, quote,
knew him. I ate him.
Now it's 9 p.m. Go to bed.
Go to sleep.
But Pollard's family insisted that he would never make light of such an incredibly traumatic experience.
No, no one has ever gotten gallows humor after experiencing tragedy.
Yeah. What else are you going to do, honest?
Well, as far as the other surviving whalers went, all of them, except one, returned to whaling after just a brief convalescence.
Jeez.
And they continued their careers on the high seas for the rest of their lives.
All right.
Now, first mate Owen Chase, he began working on his book almost immediately after returning to Nantucket. He finished it before he went on his next voyage. 20 years later, one of his many sons, from many different women, because his wives kept dying, he served aboard the whale ship Acushnet. On that boat, Owen Chase's son met Herman Melville, and he slipped the aspiring author a copy of the book that detailed his father's harrowing ordeal, inspiring Melville to write Moby Dick years later.
So that's the source material for Moby Dick.
Well, it's the first one, because Owen Chase wrote his version of his memoirs, which heavily featured how he was not at fault, and that he didn't do anything wrong, and but he also, I believe, he was the one that was like, was honest about the cannibalism.
Yeah.
And it was the other one written by the boy.
Thomas Nickerson.
Yeah,
the one who said, let me die.
Yeah, let me die. He denied the cannibalism because he just didn't want to admit it.
He couldn't really deal with it. Yeah.
It's pretty obvious.
As for the rest of them, three of the eight survivors became captains themselves, while two of the island guys continue on as crew members on the Australian ship that rescued them.
Cool.
Yeah. The third island guy, he was the only one who didn't return to the whaling life, but he retired on an island. He went to Timor.
Awesome. I mean, that sounds great.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, he died there some years later. But as far as the Nantucket whaling business as a whole went, it had still not yet reached its peak when the Essex went down. The peak was 17 years later, when Nantucket whalers killed almost 7,000 whales in 1 year.
Dang. Did you know that whales, they do so many things. They play games with each other.
They do. They
yes,
do.
Yes, they will go and they will. A whale will save a dolphin from a shark.
I don't know if that's true. So that's good. So you have sympathy for the whale.
Yeah, of course. Whales are incredible creatures.
No, I love just, a whale. Again, it's just watch all these documentaries that are just about a, so they get to the
people
tortoises.
Who have empathy?
Yes.
Yes, yes, when you laugh at them as they cry? Yes.
But 7,000 whales in 1 year, that's nothing compared to the more modern numbers, to 20th century numbers. In 1964, the deadliest year for whales in history, 30,000 whales were killed by any number of Scandinavian and Japanese whalers.
And what did we get from it? The blubber for candles and shit?
Well, that was because that really happened when the first sperm whale took down the Scandinavian node trade center. They took that down.
This is a world trade. You're talking about 9/11 joke?
It's a 9/11 joke.
It was a war against whales.
It's a war against whales. Explain it further.
It doesn't even make any sense.
Because I don't get it. I don't get it.
Whales don't fly.
I don't write bits before I arrive. You know what I mean? Like, I don't come up with like, all of the bits.
All of the bits not fully formed. That one was. That one should have stayed inside.
That's an inside thought.
I feel like this is a playground for my ideas.
It is. It is indeed.
It's a workshop environment, even though it goes straight to the air. Yeah. And we don't really, we don't edit that much out.
Not much.
Well, out of all the playgrounds, that's the metal slide of playground material. It really hurt, as you were saying it. And it hurt going down.
No, but then you go, wah!
No, it's... and your skin falls off your body.
However, just the Nantucketers, they reduced the sperm whale population by somewhere between 8 and 18%.
Wow.
And while there were 2 million whales when whaling began, there's only about 350,000 sperm whales alive today.
Oh. Damn.
However, it must be said that the only reason why the Nantucket whaling business finally ebbed was because a superior and more abundant source of lubricant was discovered in 1859. That substance was... petroleum.
Yay! Oh, yay!
And one rapacious system was quickly replaced by another.
And nice. That's when the petroleum started.
That's when we got all petroleum. It's great if you want to rub your body in it.
Yeah. I got a bunch of crude in my house. Yeah.
Most of the things in this room are made of petroleum.
All plastic.
This table, these little roly things
are on.
This chair is made of petroleum.
Petroleum.
And thank God we can always just get that.
Well, we could.
You always get more.
Yeah.
It's endless, just like the whales.
Wait a second.
We can. If people actually acted harmoniously, there's
Pocahontas
plenty.
Was wrong.
There's plenty to go around.
An entire series of how Pocahontas was wrong.
Now, while whale oil was still used sparingly until the early 20th century, the last Nantucket whale ship was tied to a dock in 1924. And the next night, it was appropriately destroyed by a hurricane that dashed it against the rocks.
Okay.
And the American whaling industry was ended forever.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's a fucking,
so really,
that's a whale of a tale.
Whale of a
it's
tale.
It's a whale of a tale. And I'm going to say, if I had to choose between that or being a member of the Donner Party, I think I would rather be a whaler.
Oh, I'm going to go with Donner Party.
More survived, though, didn't they?
No. The Donner Party far more survived.
More survived than the Donner
Many
Party.
More, yeah.
What about the guys on the island? I would like to be one of the island
See,
guys.
To me, the islander, that's where I feel I would have been best.
I would have done well.
I'd just been like, why don't we hurry to land?
Still, yeah, you're right.
It still would have been absolutely fucking horrible.
Yeah,
it would
of
have
course.
Been terrifying and difficult. Yeah. You're still drinking bird blood most of the time.
Not as cold as the Donner Party had to deal with, though.
I think seaweed's icky. So I don't know if I want to be in the ocean.
Oh, no. Seaweed salad is great.
Yeah, I like seaweed salad because it's in my mouth.
It's
but when
seaweed.
It's tickling my feet.
Yeah. Yes, sure. But then you pull it up and you dry it and then you pickle it and then it makes seaweed salad.
Are you doing that?
Seaweed salad?
It's good.
I order it every time.
You do, really?
I love seaweed.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. I'm just surprised you do.
Oh, yeah.
You
That's commentary.
You eat green things.
Yes. Green's my favorite color.
Yeah. He loves
Me
that.
Too.
Henry, what's your favorite color?
blood red.
We're also going to draw locks at the end to see who has to eat
who gets shot mad.
All right, everyone. The tragedy of the Essex.
Oh, thank you guys so much for joining us. And you want to check us out? We actually have a couple of things to announce. One thing, March 8th. At the new Pack Theater, it's basically two doors down from the old Pack Theater in Los Angeles. We're doing a classy night out, me and Ed Larson. I don't know who is going to be there yet.
I don't know.
Pete Davidson. Yeah, that's a turtle.
He won't answer my text.
I know. I wonder why.
And then I got that. We got
August. We're going to be in Australia. Check out those dates.
Mm-hmm. And lastpodcastandleft.com. You can see all those dates.
Can't wait.
We're going to do live side stories April 8th. Yep. You will check that out. I'm going to give you all that information.
And we're going to be appearing at WonderCon this year in Anaheim.
That's right.
We're not sure exactly what day we're going to be there yet, but we're going to be there signing our new Z2 comic book. Issue 2 has been shipped. So look out for those in your mailboxes if you pre-ordered them. Thank you for your patience on waiting for those to get printed and get shipped out. And if you want one, you can now order them at z2comics.com.
Do people dress up at WonderCon, or will I stand out if I do?
No, think you should. Everyone dresses up always.
WonderCon's also a dress up?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, all cons are dress ups?
Remember that FanX that we went to in awesome. Salt Lake City?
Yes.
And there was that guy who dressed up as Raiden and waited in front of the Christopher Lambert table for like 3 hours?
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't need to do that.
He didn't have to do that, no.
Because there wasn't a huge line.
And I don't even think that Christopher Lambert, he's just like,
cool, I wish you'd leave, sir.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
very nice.
A good costume, sir.
Yes. Mm. Well,
awesome. I'm going to be on the lookout when we go to WonderCon for some Deep Space Nine figures. We're only missing in our collection, we're only missing Odo and Gul Dukat.
And then they can finally have sex again.
Isn't that fantastic?
Once they finally get all
together.
She's
holding it. She's the one that's holding it up.
Well, that's great. Well, thanks for supporting all the shows here on Last Podcast Network and our little serious ventures as well, Mondays and Tuesdays, 6
and
p.m.
Also,
PST.
Check out our Mothman blend over Spring Hill Jack Coffee. I'm just going to go ahead and say we got a new blend coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to titillate your throat holes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail again.
Magustulations, everybody.
Thank you
Be
so much.
Be safe. Don't eat your friends.
I mean, eat your friends if you got to, but
if you got to.
Really have to, but I can't imagine any situation in modern times where you would have to.
But first, people get lost.
Oh, but first, I see what you're saying. I thought you were going to start a whole other episode.
But, no, please.
But first, we have to do another 5 hours.
Yes. No.
Maybe on Mars. We might have another chance for cannibalism when these billionaires get to Mars and they run out of food.
You could get stuck in, your car could break down in America and you still have to eat somebody.
Yeah. I'm drinking out of a Whataburger. There's fast food everywhere.
I know. I just start eating leaves.
Yeah.
You can just die there.
Sure. Yeah.
You have no excuse, Marcus.
Maybe I don't.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.